It's a big game. We love Friday night football. Will we see a response from Brisbane? Let's find out. All the big boys come out to play on Friday night football. Jared Waitley will be calling this game, along with Dwayne Russell, Brad Johnson, and our next guest, the 1988 Brownlow medalist, Jared Healy. Hello, Jared. Have we got you, Jared?
I'm here, Kimbo. Thanks for that. So I'm not sure what happened there. Must have gone past the tall building.
No, good as gold. Happy New Year to you. Are you loving the start to the season?
Oh, the sharing is free. I couldn't believe what I saw on the weekend. Fast footy, high-scoring footy, you know, plenty of defence. But, I mean, we finally worked out that the DNA of this sport is for the ball to go from one end of the ground to the other. And it's fantastic. I really enjoyed last week, in particular the Collingwood game. That was the... That was a standout, but then followed up by Port Adelaide. They played the best footy I've seen them play for a long time. So quite exciting and sets up for a good round two.
Now, Jared, Ken Inkley, the Port Adelaide coach, made the point today this is a contact sport, Australian football, but how much contact are you allowed? Have you got a handling on what Michael Christian's agenda is from this point onwards?
Well, I agree with him. It's a contact sport, but when I was playing, there was a penalty given for charging. Mm. And what I saw twice on the weekend were charges. They've got no place in football. And particularly this era of CTE and long-lasting effects of concussion have come a long way further than the 70s and the 80s. Mm. And both of those incidents, I think, had no support from the playing fraternity and most people of the clubland that haven't been, as I said. But, you know, ultimately, you can't have a game without the bump. You got to be able to bump to distance yourself from the opponent for a competitive ball or a loose ball. I mean, there's bumping in shepherding, but I don't think we're into the assassination of opposition players when they're least suspecting you. You saw the whiplash on two of those incidents, whether or not he hit him in the head or not, and that's, you know, debatable, but most of the medical evidence from what I heard suggested both were at least glancing blows.
So why is
the
Pickett...
whiplash effect is what gives you the problems.
Yeah, but why is Pickett 2 and McAdam 3? Explain that one to us.
Well, that was ridiculous. Mm. I can't. How can you? I mean, that to me, I mean, look, I've heard from others who may know a bit more about the makeup about the tribunal and the rules than I do, but last year Zane Cordy hit a North Melbourne player whose name escapes me. And it was left ungraded because, according to the tribunal, the result didn't fit the matrix. Well, that's what I think Michael Christian should have done with both of these cases, and it would have taken a lot of the anger and the anguish out of them.
Good point.
Yeah, I reckon if there'd been some consistency in the decisions, we wouldn't have had the outcry we've had. The potential to cause injury. Mm. A lot of people and a lot of our callers, Jared, that's what concerns them, that football's not going to be what they've grown up with. And they're concerned that even a genuine and legitimate tackle that injures someone could be unduly rough play. And maybe even the high mark where the knee goes into back of someone's head is unduly rough play. Do we need to be concerned about that?
I think the mark, that's an hysterical reaction. I think if you're going for the ball, then you're going to be given as much leeway as any. Most of these incidents are when people elect to bump when they could have easily tackled. I mean, what we saw on the weekend, as I said at the opener, it wasn't a bump. They weren't bumps. They were charges, shoulder charges. And in rugby league, who are well behind us in this 5 years ago, they've stamped out the shoulder charge because... they see that as one of their most egregious acts, and they whack 8 weeks on that. Mm. Probably 5 weeks or 4 weeks if you don't injure the person. You injure the person, you're out of the game for 8 weeks. And to me, that's where it should be for us.
If it just we'll move on. If it was side-on contact, though, and the same style of bump, isn't it still a bump? To drop the shoulder
it
and accelerate?
Bump, but if you cause... if you cause the head to whiplash into the shoulder, as we saw with McGinnity and Maxwell some years ago, then that's a bump. But once again, if you elect to bump, you are responsible for the outcome. And if you cause damage to the head, well, you go. And I mean, I think there's also this unduly rough play that and the definition that Steve Hocking brought in, which I didn't agree with in the instance, the McKay versus the
Hunter
Clark,
was it?
Yeah, Hunter Clark. I mean, to me, both players were going for the ball. You could see McKay's hand. You know, they were centimetres away from the ball before he tucked up to protect himself. So he's playing for the ball. If you elect a bump and you've got an option to tackle, I've got no sympathy for you. And I think most of the game is saying, in this era, you owe the person that you are bumping a duty of care not to be so outrageously aggressive that you put his future at risk.
Well summarised. Let's take a look at tonight's game. Brisbane Lions, what are your expectations this year, and was last week an aberration?
Well, it was an aberration because the effort wasn't there. They're a much better side than that. But even at their best, I've got three sides clearly above the rest. One of them's Geelong. You know, they've got to represent their case. Collingwood and Melbourne, I think, are significantly better. But, you know, these are only early season form. I think they've still got some problems both forward and back. Brisbane, in particular, their team defence. So I'm expecting Brisbane to bring the effort, but I think if Melbourne bring their effort, Melbourne's best is better than Brisbane's best.
So, Jared, what is it about Brisbane, as we saw in the third quarter against Port Adelaide, that if a team starts working the scoreboard, they don't have a trick to stop it?
Well, I think that's the whole issue about team defence. They have, you know, struggled with that concept even last year. Their best game last year was their last game. And it was the toughest Brisbane side I've seen since the Boss era. And they went to work on Melbourne. And after half-time, it was just incredible football. Berry's performance on Oliver was superb. Mm. And they played the best game I've seen them play collectively together. And yet what we saw on the weekend was, I mean, that was C-grade stuff. So you'd expect them to, I mean, they've got a proud club. They've got a good coach, got a good list, good group of players. But when you're talking about the pointy end, Melbourne at the moment with Collingwood, you know, they are at the, they're in seats 1A and B at the moment. So I think Melbourne, I think they're pretty keen to atone for what happened last year in the second semi. And if they're on song, Brisbane will have to be extraordinary to win at home.
Jared, can we go off field for a second? I don't know if you can throw any light on this, but the constant publicity that Glenn Bartlett, former president, is creating regarding Simon Goodwin. Can you shed any light on that and what he's trying to achieve?
Well, to be honest, I can't. I look from afar. I don't know anything about it. Clearly Glenn feels he's been maltreated or mistreated. And the same year he was the orchestrated removal of him at the committee level, they go on and win a premiership, which he put, you know, 8 hard years into. So I can feel why he's aggrieved. Whether or not, and he clearly thinks he's had his reputation impugned, and I guess he's got every right to continue on with it. But it's not getting much traction, I've got to say, over here. And, you know, unfortunately, it's whenever anybody goes down the litigation path, it does tend to dominate their lives for a period of time. So I hope they can just resolve this as quickly as possible so everyone can get on with the business.
Jared, you said the Sharon's been released. Who did it, the rulemakers, or did the coaches just wake up that it was time to go back to attacking footy?
That's a good question, Rooch. I'm not quite sure about that. I suspect the coaches had the main influence because, quite simply, I mean, Geelong couldn't beat Richmond. That's the bottom line. And so finally, Chris Scott, he decided that they had to change. And so he became a forward-moving coach. The change in their game was extraordinary last year. So was Collingwood. So you had two coaches come in and change the way that the ball had moved by either the previous coach or Chris Scott himself from, you know, backwards to forwards. And it made a massive difference. So if you want to be in the winning business of football, you better go forward with the ball.
Yeah. Gee, those Melbourne trams need a bit of oiling, it sounds like.
You represented
two clubs with great distinction, Melbourne and Sydney. You say your top three clubs at the moment are Cats, Collingwood, Melbourne. Where do you see Sydney this year, especially after failing so poorly in that grand final?
I see them. I thought they were, you know, I thought they were in front of where they naturally should have been last year, if such a thing exists. Mm. And I see them getting organically better. We've already seen that with a couple of the young players doing so well last week. Errol Goulden continues to impress. He's a terrific young player he's a really impressive young man too. I had the good fortune of meeting him on the jumper presentation night a couple of weeks ago, and he was mighty impressive. But they got a couple of rippers through the middle of the ground who you would have both seen get votes last week. But I still think something would have to really improve in their ruck division and probably key forwards for them to compete at the top end. So, I think they're still in growth phase. I think, they'll be looking to add one or two. I see they've already been linked with Harry Himmelberg, who would be fantastic and just what they need. But they're in the right spot. They're slotted nicely. Doesn't mean they can't win it this year, but I think they'll be stronger in a couple of years' time.
Gerard, there probably hasn't been a teenager since Nathan Buckley went from Brisbane to Collingwood who's had so much said of him that was either myth or misinterpreted than Jason Horne-Francis. What did you learn about him at the weekend?
I learned that he was the player that Glenn Luft told me he was going to be. Glenn Luft was the guy who recruited him to North Melbourne, chopped a fair bit of flack from various people for some of his recruits not working. But he just said, just give it time and it will right itself. And he was really impressive. I was really pleased for him. I mean, it doesn't do much for the draft, I've got to say, when, a young bloke can leave a club after 1 year. But, I mean, that's a totally different issue. But if we just treated him in isolation, unbelievable performance last week, and I was thrilled for him because life has not been enjoyable as an AFL footballer up until that date. And his first game in the Guernsey for Port Adelaide was superb.
Gerard, we really appreciate your time. We look forward to the call tonight. A quick tip and a margin for tonight's game.
I reckon the Demons. The Demons by about 4 goals.
Oh, beautifully done. Good to catch up with you, Gerard. We really appreciate it. We look forward to your call with Gerard Waitley, Dwayne Russell and Brad Johnson tonight on SEN. Thanks for your time, Gerard.
Thanks, Kimbo. Great to talk, Roach. All the best.
There, Jared. Yeah, summed it up, doesn't he?
He's a good man, yeah.
The whole bump issue, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, we know it's changed. I'm a bit of a fossil. But we're all right. We wouldn't have talked about it as much if there'd been some consistency with the rulings.